Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
I'm Sage.
And today's episode is, are we living in a modern day Handmaid's Tale? So for those of you who are not familiar with what we're talking about, we are talking about the show and book, The Handmaid's Tale. It is, I don't know, Sage and I are obsessed with this TV show.
Yeah, definitely.
Obsessed. So for those of that are not familiar with what we're talking about, the story is written by Margaret Atwood in around the early 1980s. She wrote this in response to in the news in America, which was the rise of, you know, Ronald Reagan family values and the casualness of how women were being treated. And so she wrote this in response. And so this is a story that is set in today, like, you know, think of today's time, a modern day tale. And what has happened is basically the world has a lot of issues right now.
Right.
So we have the main issue, which I think is there's infertility on a global scale, that globally there's an issue of having babies.
It's so bad in the show that like kids are literally like getting snatched from the hospitals. Stolen.
Right. And like villages, like think of like some cities, like only one like woman is having a baby per city per year. And so you have crazy infertility. You have climate change has changed the landscape so drastically that you can't farm at all in America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then so because of this, there's now this in response to everything that's happening, this patriarchal
mm-hmm.
society rises.
Basically, they believe that the problem of the farming and the problem of the infertility came from moving away from like a biblical
right
value of living.
God was mad.
And so what they tried to do, which the city becomes Gilead,
right? So the U.S. kind of becomes Gilead-ish.
Right. There's a civil war.
Yeah.
And the U.S. becomes Gilead. And they try to enforce a new society based off of what they believe are biblical principles in order to undo climate change and this infertility issue.
Right. And so now everybody has these very, men and women have very distinct roles. Like, right. You can only have like a few different options.
Yeah. So as women, you're either a wife of a commander.
Which in the military,
means,
yeah.
Yeah, which means that you take care of your household. You can be a Martha.
I was going to say it's color-coded. So, like, right. That's the thing, too, that it's helpful to look.
They wear blue.
Blue ladies are, like, royal, you know, not essentially royalty, because, like, in America,
they're
the same thing. There's no, yeah, exactly. There's no royalty, but, you know, high status, essentially. Like,
they are the highest. They maintain the highest status of women, but they are still below men, and they also have the same rules as the other women in the sense that they're not allowed to speak out of turn.
Right. So there's, like, as women across the board, I think that's something mm-hmm. that we could talk about. So women across the board in this society, they're not allowed to read. They're not allowed to learn how, that's the new thing. The children that are girls, they can't learn how to read. Mm-hmm. Women are not allowed to speak unless spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of.
And the other two major roles of women, there mm-hmm. are a few others, but the two major roles is a Martha, which is basically a house
green lady.
Yeah, she wears green and she's basically a labor trafficked person. And yeah. Then there are the handmaids.
They're like the servants in the house is really that it too. Like they're trusted enough to handle like some responsibilities in the house, essentially.
Right.
Like that's the other difference too, is that they're not going to run away, essentially. They're not. That's why they're in green versus the mm-hmm. other crazy role, mm-hmm. which is the handmaid, which is in red.
Yeah. And the handmaids are basically sex slaves for the purpose of reproducing children.
Yes. These are the women who can have children. Mm-hmm. And so they are designated as special. You mm-hmm. see them in red, which really, so, you know, if they run away, you see them. But these women get assigned to families. Commanders,
yeah,
a commander, and they birth their children. In the sense, they try to spin it, you know, you with it and stuff, just the way things are. They spin it as like, think of it as surrogacy, that these handmaids are surrogates, that but the thing that's the creepiest and what, you know, it icks us out and why Handmaid's Tale is so intense to get through is the role of the Handmaid's Tale. You know, she's raped to be over and over every month, every however long it takes until this commander has a family, has a baby. And also the main thing that is put on the women is that it is the female's fault if they cannot have a child.
Right.
So it's not men can't be infertile. Mm-hmm. Like, that can't be it. It has to be the woman's fault. So mm-hmm. there are times where it comes up in The Handmaid's Tale where this doctor gets creepy and he's like, you know, she's on the stirrup straps, like, think gynecological, like, visit. And he's like, you know, I can make it easy for you right now. I'm not infertile. Like,
yeah, basically he offers to rape her so she can get pregnant quicker. Also, just content warning, there's clearly rape in this show. There's also physical assault.
Yeah.
And so while this show is very challenging to watch, Janet, and I do still feel it's so, so important to watch. But watch knowing that you're...
Yeah, like,
watch knowing that
it's a Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's a Game of Thrones kind of mindset. Like, if you handle Game of Thrones, like, you can handle a Handmaid's Tale, it's going to be that type of intensity. Yeah. And also, you know, not for kids.
Yeah. And another point about the handmaids is that if the handmaid had a child before all of this, that child was taken away from them and placed into another home. And if she, when she does conceive for a commander, after some time of nursing, the child will still be taken away from her, put in the family, and she'll be actually moved to a different family to stay away from her.
She just gets shipped off to breed somewhere else. So she's there long enough to nurse. And then it's shipped off somewhere else.
I mean, she's basically a walking uterus.
Yes.
And it's challenging as a woman to watch, but very important. I'll just say that.
Right. And so the question of, like, everybody that's listening, like, oh, this sounds intense. Of course this isn't going to happen anytime soon. And so the question, though, are we living in a modern day, or the modern day isn't necessary, are we living in a Handmaid's Tale?
Right.
There's a few themes that we want to, like, highlight that we think, like, oh, these are some worrisome things. And, like, mm-hmm. I told Sage at the start of this podcast that personally, you know, for me, living our presidency has changed, and so I feel a little bit better and stuff. There's a little bit more relief than I was feeling before, except some of the things that we're going to talk about are, oh, this is happening that mm-hmm. maybe people in the news aren't aware of and stuff. So a couple things that in The Handmaid's Tale, we'll just talk about the three main things we'll talk about and then go into it, is the infertility crisis, the real life Serenas, who are, I think we said that Serena is
we'll
the commander's wife.
We'll
and then Bible verses that get taken out of context.
Right.
And so I guess we'll just...
From the top, I think with the infertility crisis, I mean, if you know anybody who's trying to conceive, you know someone who's had a miscarriage. I know so many people who are doing, you know, IVF or so many different ways to try to conceive. And when this show... you know, hinges on the idea that basically society panics because of a lack of infertility, and somehow this very totalitarian government isn't able to rise on the fear, on people's fear that they're not able to conceive. That really freaked me out personally.
Yeah.
You know, infertility is actually an issue, today. And of course, in this show, it's the extreme version where it's like one woman in every city. But when you already see people having issues with infertility, you have to wonder what does the future look like.
Yeah, you can literally Google, I'm literally looking at that now, where it's like over time, trendings are showing in the U.S. and in some areas like that infertility is rising by a few points over generations and stuff. And again, like, that doesn't sound like anything like right now, but you take that to the extreme or over time and stuff, it gets manipulated and stuff. And so that infertility stuff, we do, it is real.
Yeah. And it's not like Margaret Atwood picked an issue that we as a society can't
connect with.
Yeah. Or can't foresee being a problem in the future. Yeah. Which is very, it feels very real.
And you know, the other thing too, is that they do a really good job in the show of like, when a baby is born, as an audience member, you're like, Like, you're right, just as excited right. as mm-hmm. the, you know, what's happening in the audience on TV mm-hmm. and stuff too. Like, mm-hmm. you get that excitement over it and you're like, oh yeah, there's a connecting point right. that it tugs on. Babies are, you know, mm-hmm. anybody for the mm-hmm. most part can get a little connected to babies. And also, mm-hmm. you know, the infertility, but kids being taken away too.
And just one last note on that, I think is also in the show, because they're trying to like revert back to a biblical time,
right?
They also reject a lot of modern day science, so
yes, that's right, they can't do it's all it goes to the extreme of right. prayer, we'll fix it, like we'll yeah. pray over it.
And so basically now they have all these women that they're trying to impregnate, and then when it comes down to it, they reject the any science because they believe like that had a problem with or caused like the infertility. And so then there's actually babies not making it who would have made it maybe with more modern day science.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like feeding into their own issue. And it becomes such an issue actually that the other countries around them or yeah. some countries are like, wow, what are you guys doing with these handmaids? We want to buy some.
Yeah, that's the scariest thing.
Oh my gosh.
That's the scariest thing is that. Oh. So also, you know, there is some hope, like Canada is. Like,
Canada's like, this is a huge human rights violation.
Yeah, Canada's like, we'll save you, U.S. Gilead. Like, so there is like, on the flip side, you know, they're just like, there is hope in the world. There is hope in this TV show. So mm-hmm. just, you know, it's not a series of unfortunate events. Like you will, like there is some hopefulness that comes out of it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is a very... Mm-hmm. It also, you bring up, that leads right into it, because you realize, so they're starting to have this political discussion as Gilead is also trying to be recognized as a nation. And so they get noticed because, oh, these handmaids, they mm-hmm. are, this country, quote unquote country, is able to have kids. And so you see the Mexican president, she comes and has this conversation with Gilead. And you also find out that also the main character Offred, mm-hmm. who is Emily Moss, the actress and stuff, June, otherwise is her name in the show. She talks to the president, is like, it's horrible. Right. I'm raped. You know, it's awful. Da, da, da,
basically,
da,
save me.
Yeah. Save me. And she's the Mexican president's like, wow, I really empathize with you. And like, on the dime, flips in that dinner and is like, right. you know, you got to understand, my village hasn't had a kid in like 20 years. Like, mm-hmm. and so she's the one that starts and suddenly now, like, maybe we need to buy some of these handmaids. Like, maybe we need to do the same thing. Right. And you're like, and oh shit, it's a woman that is bringing down another woman, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. another theme in Margaret Atwood. And this is Serena, who is a blue lady that we talked about. She is in charge of June in the sense, like, it belongs to families. Handmaids belong to families. So she belongs to Serena,
so
the commander.
So if June or Offred has a baby, it's going to become Serena's baby.
Right.
In the show.
And so the thing is, too, the handmaids, what they do a great job is they do flashbacks, like, you right. know, how we got there and stuff. And so you have...
Also terrifying.
Yeah, also terrifying because it makes it even more real. So the other main character in this is, so you have the June versus Serena. Serena's yeah. in blue, and she, you find out in these flashbacks, she's one of the main reasons that this mm-hmm. society happened. She was an author. She was a media personality. Yeah. She wrote this book that basically was in defense of like what these views are, that yes, women need to go back to their biblical purpose. This is, you know, she cited all these sources, and it was used as a reason to create Gilead. And in yeah. the end, like, Serena is the downfall of women. And she constantly kicks June. Constantly, when you feel like she's going to help,
yeah.
constantly just kicks her when she's down. And there's a theme to that where there are women who... I guess it's, I want to go like even more and stuff. There are women who don't support women. That's the basis right there. It's as simple as that. We're there. And for those of you who are like, what does that even look like? I think that is something that we see in our own lives easily. We look at those, and it's not as simple as like the cattiness at the table, but it's this You know, I was, when I think about in my career and stuff, you know this story, mm-hmm. I was told I was too ambitious for a position. Mm-hmm. And it was a woman that told me that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a man that told me that. It was a woman. And that really affected me mm-hmm. for a really long time, years, until I had another woman like speak truth into me and be like, that is some bullshit. What the fuck? Like, how dare she? She wouldn't be saying that to a man. I'm like, you know, fucking right. Yeah, she gave that to a dude because, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And like...
She wouldn't be saying that to a man.
And like, but that is happening in our yeah. life. Not, I mean, me too, I think has been in one of the most empowering experience as a woman to watch in this generation and
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
because women are supporting women like never before. We're calling it out like never before, but there's still work that needs to be done.
Well, and I want to say, like, I agree with women supporting women. Serena is a step even further than not supporting women, because she maintained the highest role as a woman in the Gilead society that she could and put women below her.
Yes.
So in her house as maids, she allows her husband to rape another woman so that she can have a
child. She sets up a rape. Don't forget that. She makes sure,
Well, we don't want to give away too much of the, like, of the side plots. We want you to watch it yourself. But she, you know,
it's, masterminds, I guess, would be a lot.
Masterminds, and she's willing to do what it takes for herself.
Yes.
That's really what it comes down to. What does she want? She wants a baby. She will do whatever it takes, even if that means watching her husband rape another woman, which I can't even fathom how you get there. You know what I mean? Like, how does a woman...
Yeah, like, this is fine. Because also, they're in the room. Like, they're in...
Oh, right. The wives of the commanders are there as a part of the ceremony.
Yeah.
Which is really, like, just on all levels, super disturbing, but... To me, it's
probably
like
justify it. Instead,
yeah, like, as a woman, like, you know, we need to be careful about not just supporting other women, but how are we, when we see things in politics, when we see things in our community, in our society, you know, how is that affecting not just me, everybody else too?
And are we speaking about it too? Like, oh, one thing that, like, you know, I think that we can take out of this is, like, guys, like, speak to it. Just like we're seeing in our country and stuff over the last year, we've learned that staying quiet isn't the best approach when you want to take action and fix some problems in our country. Like, you know, now there's women's issues, there's social justice issues, like the list goes on, and none of that gets fixed unless you speak into it and stuff.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, like, there's so many times where, you know, any truth to light always, like, works in your favor and stuff like that. And also, you know, to talk about the laws that are happening too and be informed, like there is the most restrictive abortion law in the country just got passed in Arkansas and is already on its way. Like, the ACLU is like, well, you know, we're appealing this bitch. Like, we're going to take this to the Supreme Court. And so regardless of how you feel on the line of abortion, pro-choice or pro-life, it is a restrictive measure on healthcare towards women, point blank. That is. If you take away abortion, it is a healthcare access right to women, and you're taking that away. And so that is something that is in the news. That is something that we know leads to restrictions. And we know what happens when, you know, women don't have access to abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what happened before Roe v. Wade. I don't want to need to go into that and stuff. But, and that's not the point. But the point is that there are political instances that this leads to what can happen in the Handmaid's Tale.
And it's so much, it's so beyond abortion as well. I mean, abortion fits because the premise of the show is based off of infertility and that fear. But it's so much more than that. It is also about just general women's rights. And, you know, are we walking towards women's rights, or are we walking away from women's rights?
Right.
And is it based out of fear? That's, for me, also an issue.
Speaking to that as well, the Violence Against Women Act just got repassed. But for those that may not know, it did not pass by a supermajority.
Right.
Our own congressman voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he lost my vote. I already sent an email and stuff. So there are men that are casually not, you know, it's also, he knew it was going to pass no matter what. So there was no negative consequence. He just looked good to his base. But that is something, like, over time, he had enough people, guys. We could have had that rolled back. We could have been back in the 1980s if enough men thought like he did. It didn't think
and
in that.
And that happened right in line with the shootings of the women in Atlanta, which was another issue of a man blaming a woman for his, you know, sexual urges and stuff. And we need to be careful with that. As women, that's not our responsibility to control men. It's not our responsibility to make sure we're not shot dead at our jobs because a man can't control himself. And we as women need to support. And again, it's been also for the Asian community, a huge moment of grief. And it's been for, in my opinion, for the sex working community, a huge moment of grief. But as women, we need to see, you know, what the bigger picture here and what the stories we're allowing men to tell, you know, responsibility or lack thereof.
Right. It goes all the way back to us being in high school, telling girls that they need to cover up so that they're not distracting. Boys, how about you keep it in your pants and you learn how to handle society? Like, you know, like, why do I have to cover up when you need to learn to control your sexual urges?
And the crazy thing is we're going to move into the taking the Bible out of context. But that's another thing in the show is it's sort of the women are dressed in a way so that, it, you know, to keep men out of temptation.
They're modest. They're modest.
Which, you know what? Fine. Dress however you want. But the bottom line is that the men in the show still take advantage of that.
Yes.
Even in this world where they're supposed to be holiness and nobody's supposed to be sinning and they'll cut, you know, eye for an eye kind of deal. They're still going to a strip club.
They're still going to brothels. They're still going
and it's
raping.
Right. Like, you know, and
there's
so
still
I
crime.
Think that also really showed, you know, shows that women can literally be as modest and at the rate disposal of men. And he's still, you know what I mean? They're still going to do what they want to do. Mm. So, and we can't accept that. But I do want to talk about,
this is important
for me, the most disturbing of all of it, even though we've clearly talked about a lot of disturbing content, but the most disturbing thing for me is, the willingness and ease of using the Bible to create a society like this.
Yes. Taking these Bible verses out of context. And for those who, this is also a great recap. If you have not listened to our episode, Can Christians Be Feminists? Go back and listen to that, because a lot of those Bible verses that are used in The Handmaid's Tale and that you'll talk about and stuff are the ones that are taken out of context that are used to silence women.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to that episode, go back. We're only 7 episodes in, people. You got time to recap and stuff. So go back, listen to that episode, because these are the verses that we'll be going into a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's these verses that are so casually taken out of context that also people like, read your Bible. Like,
well, and that's the problem though.
That's why they don't let the women read, because they don't need them getting ideas about freedom and a God that loves them.
Mm. And here's the problem. Okay. So they're like, they want to go all the way back in this show. They want to go Old Testament. And so they use the story of Rachel and Jacob who were having a hard time conceiving, which apparently was like a family thing, because we all know that Sarah and Abraham were also having trouble conceiving.
These boys.
I'm saying, I don't know who it was, but and in both of those examples, Jacob and Rachel, Abraham and Sarah, they took a handmaid. So one of the maids of the wife's house, the wife said, basically, I'm struggling to conceive, have sex with my maid so that we can have children. And what did the men do? They did it. They conceived. Basically, they raped another woman in order that they could have a child. Okay. Now, that was Old Testament. That happened. The problem with this show is that they're looking at that and going, oh, that was the solution.
Yeah.
That was acceptable. That was never acceptable. Okay. And even God said to, you know, Sarah and Abraham, he kept promising Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars. And Sarah was basically like, I'm too old for this.
Yeah.
And gave him the handmaid. And what happened? We got Hagar, we got Ishmael. And actually, that's where the line of Islam comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it was prophesied that, you know, the son of Abraham and the line of Ishmael would be fighting one another.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what's really interesting to me is that in this show, so this is just one example. They take this, that's their reasoning, their motivation behind raping these women.
Yeah.
Because they saw that in the Old Testament, those two families and probably many more examples were able to conceive, got rid of, quote unquote, this infertility issue.
Mm-hmm.
What scares me is that we do this a lot. We look at something in the Bible and say, well, it worked that time, or that must be, quote unquote, God's plan. Therefore, we reenact, we redo, when in reality, for her name was Bilha and Hagar, these two handmaids in the actual Bible, for them, it was a huge human rights violation.
Yes.
It's not okay to rape women, even if you're having an infertility issues. It's never okay. It's not
never acceptable. Okay.
And so for me, it's like, should we be looking at what the Bible says? Yes. Should we be taking into context the cultural time period?
Yes.
And also whether or not that is just an acceptable act. Yes. Yeah. We need to be taking all that into consideration. The other thing, and my sisters remind me of this because they're rewatching it. Love them. They're huge fans of our podcast. Shout out to them. Was the eye for an eye concept in the show. Yes. So basically, your punishment needs to match
the crime.
The crime. And they are brutal in the show. I mean, it is literally, it's so brutal. And my sister pointed out that, you know, Jesus kind of did away with that.
Yes.
That's not how we're supposed to live. And so I think the bottom line is, like, we have to be very, very careful when we're reading our Bibles to understand the cultural context. And really, for me to ask that question,
what was the point?
But is this okay?
Yeah.
Is this acceptable way to live? Is this loving God and loving my neighbor? Is this a human rights violation?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, is that God, honestly, like, all the stories in the Bible and stuff, a lot of the old, again, we talked about this on the show, the Old Testament is, like, you throw it out once you get Jesus. You're like, dang, look how good what Jesus does. Like, he is the fulfillment of the old law. So, like, to take these things out of context and to be like, well, that worked then. But yeah, the point is now, like, God brought us Jesus so that we can look at this example.
Mm-hmm.
So don't we have to go back? You know, sometimes we learn our history so we don't repeat our past. Sometimes we just learn things so that we don't repeat our mistakes.
That's right.
And instead, we're using that as an excuse. Well, let's try it again.
And I just want to say, please, if you're listening to this, you're attending a church, you're attending a small group, you're reading Christian books, read with eyes that see, you know, read with context. Listen to your pastors with context. If they say something and you're like, I don't, that just doesn't feel right. That doesn't sit right with me. Do your own research.
Yeah.
Like, literally
do read your own Bible. I can't preach that enough, because, like, God didn't give us the Bible for us to listen to other people talk to us about it. He gave it to us so that we could read and learn ourselves.
Yeah. And it's okay to look for help, to look for different interpretations, or to get an understanding, especially to get an understanding of the cultural times, because that is a huge issue that we sometimes overlook, or we misinterpret because we don't understand.
We skip over because we don't want to wrestle with it.
Yeah, well, we just don't understand. I think even just, it's just like, oh, it must mean this. Well, sometimes it doesn't, you know? And my thing is, like, that's okay in, like, your day-to-day life. But when it comes to creating laws, when it comes to how you're interacting with other people, that's a serious thing we need to understand.
Yes.
So I'm going to get off my high horse. I think you guys know how I feel about this, and I'm probably not done with it. So check me out in a later episode.
No, this is perfect. This is perfect, because this leads into, you know, how we treat women. Leads us right into, so next month, April, is National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And so, trigger warning right now for next week is not an episode for everyone. Next week's episode is my own, Janet, my own story of sexual assault and what it took for me to report.
Yeah.
And whether you should report is one thing that we'll be discussing as well next week.
Yes. And if you have not experienced sexual assault, I do encourage you, don't shy away from next week's episode, because I'm 100% sure you have a friend. And this is also going to be about, how do we support those people in our lives as well? How do we encourage them when they need it most? So don't shy away from next week. And also, if you've not watched The Handmaid's Tale, get on it.
Yes.
Because season 4, I think, is coming out end of April. So you got time, catch up.
Now's the time. It's Hulu original, so you got time to binge.
Yeah.
This is the reason I got Hulu, no commercials, because I was like, I can't be waiting for this. Like,
no time for commercials.
Hulu, sponsor us. Next week is going to be an extra special episode. Again, it's not for everybody, but please don't shy away from it, because I think we're going to be discussing things that I know when I ever shared my story, I'm shocked at how many people come to me and they're like, wow, right. Me too. Or yeah. I know, like, or similar stories. Mm-hmm. That will be next week. If you haven't already subscribed to our channels, please go and do so. As mm-hmm. always, you can comment. We love to hear your thoughts. Message us, whatever, on our social media platforms at Florida Grown Femmes at Instagram and on Facebook, wherever we're at. And you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to our podcast.
Hey, under his eye.
Under his eye.
Blessed be the fruit, my friends.
Until next week.